So with Hashem's help, we're learning together the book Gan Emunah, Garden of Faith, or Shalom Irish. Learning together in the Hebrew version of the book, we're up to page 72 in the second chapter, and we're looking at the three principles of Emunah. Hashem is running the world, there's nothing other than Him, number one. Number two, everything is good. And number three, everything has a reason, everything has a purpose. And I can find the messages that Hashem is trying to send me by looking at the world around me. Back to principle number one. Hashem is doing everything. There's no one else other than Hashem. What happens though when we're suffering? When we're suffering, then that's a real test of Emunah. Right? We're not tested when everything is going great, though we are as well, in a different way. Tested not to have gava. But the more obvious test for us anyway is when things aren't going well. Do we still see Hashem or not? So, Rav Arash was telling us yesterday that it's easier, still not easy, but it's easier when our difficulty is coming from an apparently natural source. Apparently natural source, for example, an illness. So it's easier for us to see that it's Hashem behind it. Right? Because we'll see why is it easier as opposed to what's more difficult. It's a lot more difficult when it's a person that's causing us problems. When it's a person that's giving us a difficult, hard time. So then we have a more difficult time with our Emunah, in more difficult time seeing Hashem. Why? Because we see a person. We see a person with free choice. And we think that we can reason with this person, we can influence a person, we can threaten him, we don't see necessarily that it's just Hashem wielding the stick, and the person is a stick in Hashem's hands. So on this same topic, we continue. Da, you should know. Amnama da shomem mucha. Even though there is a person standing in front of you, and he has free choice to do good or bad, and certainly, if he does bad, he has a cheshbon in Shemayim from Hashem. He's got his own reckoning in Shemayim. But since from Shemayim, they want that you're going to suffer now. Top. He tells it straight. As I then, Hashem, he arranges things so that someone who is chovah, who is chayav, he brings the chova. Someone who is liable brings the debt. Right? Someone, although this person is causing you trouble, and I'm suffering on account of this person. The reason why this person is also going to have to suffer for him, for the fact that he's giving me a hard time. But Hashem wants me to have a hard time right now, my own good. And therefore, he's going to arrange that it happens through someone who already is liable and deserves to have a negative consequence as a result of his actions. Right? He's still got free choice, like we said yesterday. Maybe, right? He can still choose not to do it. But Hashem puts him in a situation where he may well use his free choice in a way which causes me suffering. Who mishtamesh ba'adam chayav she'al yidei b'chiyato hara'a hu yeh hamakel shel Hashem nibarach la'akot otcha. He uses someone who through this person's free choice, but he uses his free choice badly, he chooses to use chooses the bad instead of choosing the good. So Hashem uses this person as a stick to hit me with. Yeah? Good so far? Questions? Comments? Answers?
Yeah. I read a few weeks ago about when Paro is supposed to send the Bnei Israel out of Israel.
Okay.
That's the goal. And it says it. I read Paro has to have free choice in Paro. And it was done one of two ways. It says sometimes that Paro hardened his own heart. means that he was in balance. A person has to have a balance of free choice, always.
Okay.
And when it goes out of balance, then it says that God hardened his heart, meaning that the hardening came from Hashem because he would have let him out.
Right.
Hashem doesn't want him to let him out now. So he has to have to, he's a wicked person. I don't want him to let him out now. You know, so he has to keep him in balance. So the choice is actually his.
Right.
To let Bnei Israel go free or not.
Right.
And that's the... Uh-huh. The man has always, everyone is in balance to have free choice.
Right.
Whatever right. that means, I have no idea. But
right. Free choice is, I just saw in the bookstore yesterday, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who's a great rabbi. He's just brought out a book, it actually, just at the end of last year, brought out a book called Free Choice or Free Will. Something like that. Anyway, it's a whole book just on free will. Right? There's a lot of different perspectives on free will. One side of it, if we can never understand it, because it's a paradox. How can we have free will and free choice if Hashem's doing everything? So it doesn't work at all. So on one perspective, we're just trying to explain the unexplainable. But on the other side, there are things that we can say that help us and make us make sense of what's going on. Like, we need to try and make sense of the world, we can't. Right? So, one side of free will is that, said it with Rabbi Akiva Tatz, I heard when I was the first, probably some of the first Torah shiurim I ever heard were from Rabbi Akiva Tatz, when I was in London 20 years ago, just becoming frum. And he taught on free will then, that actually our free will is not in balance. It's not in balance at all.
You said you shiurim. Can we still get the shiurim?
Yeah, they're online. If you go to, what's it called? Top, I can't remember. Somethingjewish.com. No, everything Jewish. Something Jewish. I know. There's a site that has like I can't remember what it's called now. It's got like I don't know hundreds. Shirim has got it from everyone. Anyway, he's on there. All of his shirim, they're amazing. Amazing shirim. Anyway, so what he was saying over there in terms of free choice, he said free choice is not in balance. We might think actually that free choice is balanced, but it's not. Free choice is always against us. Meaning we don't have, if we had free choice, if free choice was perfectly in balance, then we could choose good every time, it wouldn't be a struggle. But it actually has to be that the Yetzer Hara is stronger. We have to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and the Torah says, right? We know that only with Hashem's help you can overcome the Yetzer Hara, otherwise you can overcome it. It's actually beyond our capability. Free choice. He gave an example there in the Shia that I still remember. Today he gave an example. He says, what's it like? He says, why is it called a test? It's called a Nisayon. He says, Nisayon comes from the word Nes, which means banner. What does it mean? It means there's an indication that Nes means that Hashem did it. You raise the banner, you're basically saying, oh, a flag, this is Hashem. Right, so that's what a Nes is. Nes is a Nisayon. All the Nisayonim that we go through, they're a Nes, they're miraculous, they're above nature. Because we're actually not able to pass the test. Any real Nisayon that we pass, we're not able to pass it at all. Hashem gives us a gift that's allowing us to pass it. So he said, what's it like? So he said, let's say you're a high jumper. That's what you do, and you're very good at high jumping, and you've got a personal best. Your personal best is, let's say, 2 meters 20. Right? High jumping, 2 meters 20, that's your personal best. Right? And that's as far as you can go. Mamash, you've tried for years, and that's your best. So then one day you find yourself having a picnic in a field, and suddenly out of nowhere this bull sees you and starts rushing at you, and you see it, you run, and you run towards the fence, and the fence is 2 meters 30, but because you've got a bull chasing you and your life's on the line, you clear that fence with room to spare. So he explained, that is not the level of a Nisayon. You were actually capable of that 2 meters 30 plus. You just didn't know it. It was inside you could do it, you just didn't know it. Right? When you push to the limit, you actually find you've got more strength and you can do it. Right? He said, that's not Nisayon. So Nisayon is 2.50 meters, and there's no way, it doesn't matter how many bulls are chasing you, you're not going to do it. Now when you do it, now it's a nest, right? It's beyond you, and it's only that it came from Hashem. He said, in truth, that's why he explained it, that's our free choice. In truth, in order to choose good, we actually have to, we only with Hashem's help. We don't have the capability of beating our Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is stronger than us. And it's not just if we tried more, or if we really, really tried. If I really put everything into it, I can beat my Yetzer Hara. No. Only Hashem can give us that. So, which then brings back this whole idea of free will back to where it's all Hashem again. Bottom line, it is. But, depends on what perspective. Right? It's very hard. We can't live that way, because then we just give up and do nothing. So we can't have that in, as our paradigm, otherwise, we won't be here. We'll just like stay in bed and wait. When Hashem makes me into Gadol Ador, then he'll make me into Gadol Ador, and if he just chooses not to, he won't. Right? And otherwise, I'll just eat Cheerios and watch TV. Right? So we can't have that perspective, even though that's actually what's happening. So a lot of these things are kind of like there's the theoretical understanding, which I need to know, because I need to know Torah, I need to know how the world works. And then there's the actual practical day-to-day. I need to get out of bed, and if I don't tell myself this is down to me, if you don't get out of bed, you're not getting out of bed. So I'm not going to get out of bed, right? And I, to an extent, pin that on me, and I forget Hashem for the moment. I might ask Hashem for help. Hashem, please help me get out of bed. But in terms of my practical day-to-day life, I have to switch off from the reality, so to speak. I have to come back down in order to function. Which also then puts me in the test, because, well, did I do that? That was Hashem, that was me. Part of our... But anyway, I hope I confused you enough now. Back to what we're learning here. What we're learning here is, although a person has free choice to hurt me or not to hurt me, in truth, Hashem is guiding him. And Hashem is sending me someone, right, that he's going to have to pay for what he does to me. That's his cheshbon and shamayim. But that's why Hashem sent him to me. Right? Hashem needs someone who's going to cause me sorrow. So he sends someone who is magi lachem, right? It's due to them what they're going to get. The only free choice you have is to translate that, lehitiv et maasecha, to justify his actions, to bet. I mean, it means to bet, but I don't know how to do lehitiv. Yeah, it's not the word tov, but I think it means here to justify his actions. Ulepalel, and to pray. Ulestachim Hashem, to speak to Hashem. Ufayes otor, and to appease him. That sheyimachel lecha ve'oshiel lecha, that he'll have forgiveness on you and he'll forgive you. And when Hashem wants to, he'll change the free will of this person who's standing against you. And he'll stop hurting you. And he'll even start to do good things to you.
Circle.
Yafet. So what's it actually turning out? It's turning out, and you're right, that according to this, is that the person, again, doesn't really have free will. Hashem has sent him and given him the Yetzer Hara. He's now got a Yetzer Hara to get angry. He's an angry person, and he's got a Yetzer Hara to get angry. And Hashem's not going to help him this time. Normally, Hashem needs help to stop him getting angry. And Hashem's saying, you know what, this time I'm not going to help you. You're going to get angry, and you're going to take it out on that guy. But when I change Hashem's mind, so to speak, when I let Palel do Shuvah, ask Hashem, is that going to make this angry person act nice to you? Why? Because he's going to help him get overcome his Yetzer Hara. Because the guy really wants to overcome his Yetzer Hara, like we all do. Right? We're fighting the Yetzer all the time. Right? And he starts to get angry. Hashem's like, no, you relax. And he's going, oh, you know what? It's fine. Take it. You're good. Go. Whatever. Right? Because Hashem's letting his... So, tough where you want to go with it, I don't know, in terms of, but...
So what if you're that guy, and you're trying to do tshuva, and you're trying to work on yourself, and
so
you just blew it.
So if you merit it, So you're not going to be the puppet that Hashem uses as a stick, right? If Hashem decides that I'm going to be the stick today, right, and today I'm going to shout at someone this afternoon, right? If before we get to that situation, I decide to do teshuvah, or I do my tzedakah, I do some good deeds or whatever, then by the time that comes around, so then he's not going to use me anymore. But if I haven't mended my ways and I'm due to get a makkah anyway, so that's what's going to happen. And we should also therefore know that when we find ourselves in a situation like that, that unfortunately we're the ones wielding the stick. I can't believe I exploded at that guy. Out of the blue, I would just let him have it. Where did that come from? It's not normally me. So I have to know that Hashem was I need to go and do teshuva. Right? Because Hashem was using me as a stick. It's not a good place to be in.
So then we need to minimize being in that situation.
No, the truth is we can't do anything about it. We can only do teshuva after the event, or before the event, try. We can't minimize anything. Meaning, once you're, you don't know you're going to get angry.
Right.
So.
But if you're doing an hour is supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And it's so like a half an hour guarding your eyes, and you know, so you're really, really trying.
Yeah. Then you're doing the best you can, but it doesn't mean that we're not going to fall into these things. Because even with an hour is supposed to do it, and a half an hour guarding your eyes, doesn't mean we're tzaddikim. And even the tzaddikim fall. So, this is just, what's the bottom line? The bottom line here is he's bringing this in order to teach us specifically about seeing Hashem in the world, not seeing other people, right? That we should need to know, as opposed, when we're looking at someone else, this is what's happening, we're actually looking at Hashem. From our perspective, from this angle, the guy has no free choice. From his perspective and from other pangs, he does, but not from the person who's on the receiving end. This guy's got no free choice, because Hashem is using him right now exactly for his own purposes. And it's Hashem in front of me. It's not this person. The person doesn't have free choice. From that perspective, which is why we come back to this dual paradox. That from sometimes we have to say that someone has no free choice. And from other times we have to say, well, he has to have some free choice, otherwise there's no point in creation. Oh, right, there are so explanations on all of it, though.
Right, like, how do we justify that? Like, sometimes in the Likutei Rashi and stuff, you said, like, you know, like, after the fact, let's say, Chas V'Shalom, you do something, Hashem will do that one. You're going to do it.
Right.
But even also beforehand, I mean, Hashem knows what we're going to do. The time,
right.
Hashem is infinite.
Right.
The time is infinite. It doesn't matter. Hashem can see every single thing. So I chose to pick up this bottle right now and throw it. Hashem would will that. I can only fight the desire so long or so.
No, because the difference is that there's a time period before that happens. And all the time until you pick up the bottle and leaves your hand, you can always do tshuva. You can always change yourself. Meaning that, you know what, I'm not going to throw it. But it doesn't have to turn out that way. Hashem has a plan. It doesn't have to be unfolding that way. If Hashem brings me as a stick to hit this guy today, because this guy needs a good whatever, he needs a wake-up call, and I make tshuva on the way to his house, so Hashem doesn't use me. So Hashem's going to use someone else. Hashem doesn't matter to Hashem, so to speak, what way it comes around. So it doesn't have to be. So I have the free choice in terms of before the event that I don't merit to be demerit, right? To be in that bad position.
But it's not necessarily for the bad. Also, I'm saying for the good. Like even like, you know, if I want to fill up this cup again and drink more juice,
right?
I don't necessarily have that free choice. Hashem is willing for me to pick up that cup.
Uh-huh.
You know, pour in some more juice and drink.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want juice, but 5 minutes from now I might pour it.
Yeah.
Pour another cup.
I don't have
that
choice. That's Hashem's drinking, not your drinking.
Right.
So according to Breslov, the way I understand it is that the only real free choice we have is to be happy with what's going on or not.
Right.
Meaning I'm just a complete puppet. Right? And the only choice I have is to be happy with the way Hashem's running the world, meaning including running me, or not. right? And my acceptance and my happiness affects the machine, affects what's going to be happening with me, right? Because Hashem is teaching me via my body, via me, to get close to Him. That's like the ultimate, what's going on there, the interaction. So he wants me to just accept. But it again depends on when that's an appropriate mindset to have and when it's not an appropriate mindset to have. We can't live with that mindset because then we don't get off the couch. So there's times and places, which is why Rav Arush, for example, in his book says you have two different mindsets. Before the event, you think it's all in my trust. And then after, then you think, no, it's only in Hashem's trust. Right? Because practical advice for how we work is not necessarily to be ultimately correct advice in terms of Hashem's doing everything. Right, we can't live in that space the whole time. We drive ourselves crazy. We're not up to it. We're not up to it. We're not ready for that. It's too high a light. If we try, we know that, right, I mentioned this before, nicotine around closer. So a person tries to do too much, even though he knows it's correct, he's going to kill himself. Because I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that ultimate truth. I can't live my life by it. And if I try and live my life by it, it's going to be counterproductive. So I'm not at that level. I have to go slowly, slowly. Fine, then I can get there, whatever. But and then I know that even my actions aren't my actions, and that's fine with me. I'm like living on a different plane. Doesn't mean it's not true, right? The way the Sadiqim live their life is true. I can't do it myself. Doesn't mean it's not true. Okay. Getting deep today. Okay, this is explicit in Pirkei Avot. B'shem Hillel HaZaken. The name of Hillel HaZaken. Why? Shira Gulgolet. Mishal Adam. He saw the skull of a man who'd been killed floating on the water. And Hillel turned to the skull and he said, because you drowned someone, you were drowned. And in the end, the one who drowned you will also be drowned. Right, that's what it says in Pirkei Avot. Right? That he was drowned because he killed someone. He drowned someone else. Yidu keneged mida. But the person who drowned you will also be drowned because mida keneged mida, and so on. Right? Klomar, vadai misha niotzach, zebet zedek, halpi din shemayim. Meaning, it's certainly true that the one who is killed, it's complete justice from Shemayim, right? The reason he was drowned was because it was justice. He was drowned because he drowned someone else. So even though someone came and inflicted pain, inflicted murder, inflicted whatever on him, it was due to the fact that he deserved it. It was perfect justice. However, even the person that inflicted on him, he's going to have it done back to him. Unless he does Shuva, in which case he can break the chain. Which often, and this person can't be saved from the murderer in any account, unless he does tshuva. Hashem says that this is going to happen because this is the justice that needs to happen. That's what's going to happen. How it happens and who it happens by, that's Hashem will find the right person or the right event. But the fact it's going to happen is from Hashem, not from anyone else. It's not because the murderer decides to murder. That this guy was walking to the office, and some guy came out and stabbed him. Right? It's not the fault of he would have been fine if he walked down a different road. He would have been fine if he slept a bit later that morning. No, nonsense. Hashem said this is what's going to happen to that person today, and unless he does teshuva, so it's going to happen anyway. It's got nothing to do with the person. Right, and just be like we're using it as an extreme example, in the case that someone murders a person, then so too with every other difficulty that we suffer from the hands of anyone. Right? Whether someone pushes in front of us in the line, or someone's rude to me on the bus, whatever it is, it's the same principle at play. Hashem is sending me all of this, and therefore I don't need to see the individual. don't need to get that this is a bad guy, that's your fault, right? My job is to see Hashem. Tov.
How do we always keep that in our mind?
Difficulty.
Like to know it outside, but when you're experiencing these difficulties, that's where it's like the hardest thing.
So
to say, like, you know, oh, it gets all from Hashem, not to believe it, and to internalize it so much where you know it's endless.
Right. So that only through his body. Only through his body, because prayer is what changes the heart. Right? Prayer is avodat alev. Avodat alev, not tefila. Right? It's tefila. So the brain is one thing, but the brain kicks out when we get into an argument, right? And so whatever's inside here comes out. So that's it's only his body. Hashem, please help me. But I always see you, and I don't see people, and generally speaking, in general his body, and specific his body, right? If a person is going to see the bank manager, he's going to have an interview, whatever. So, you know, before then, Hashem, please help me that remember that it's just you, and don't get upset. Yeah. Same too with his wife, right? It's very easy for us to see our wives and not to see Hashem, right? They look very real. and when they get upset, it hurts, right? But that's it needs a lot of prayer for us to... Because that's what Hashem wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be fooled by the world. He wants us to see Him. Ein bo'olam ta'ut gadol yoter. There's no greater mistake in the world. There's no greater mistake in the world, says Rav Arush, than to blame other people for your suffering. The moment a person blames someone else for his suffering, this is a great pagam in Amunah. It's a great blemish in Amunah. And this can lead that Hashem takes his hashkacha away from him, and he even gives it to the person in whom he's blaming. Psh, wow, very strong. What's he saying? He's saying a few things. He's saying, first of all, there's no greater mistake than to blame a person. Right? No greater mistake. It's like it's what we do. It's what we do all the time. Right? There's no greater mistake in the world than something that we do naturally and automatically, to blame someone else for the difficulties he's giving us. Right? But Hashem says this is a great blemish in Amunah. It's obviously a great blemish in Amunah, like we'd say, because it's not really Him, it's Hashem. And when we see a person, we don't see Hashem. Right? Hashem has control of the world. I believe Hashem is in control of the world. Apart from over here, where this guy doesn't have control of it. This guy's able to hurt me if he wants. And it's not to do with Hashem. It's not true. It's heretical. It's against the fact that Hashem is in control of everything. But not only that, that's not enough to put us off from doing it. Hashem tells us that, Rav Arush tells us that Hashem, in this situation, can even, does not that he will, but he can, in some situations, he treats a person on the basis of Hashem treats a person, mida keneged mida. Right? The way you want to be treated is the way you get treated. So a person who believes that blames the individual, so he's right over here, that Hashem removes his hashkacha and says, fine. So, I'm going to leave it to him, he's going to deal with you how he wants. Meaning, I am going to give him free choice. Right? And it's not going to be up to me anymore. You don't want to see that it's me. So there's no point. What's the point, Keely? What's the point? There's no point me trying to direct the situation to show you when you're not seeing it anyway. If you're missing it completely, then what's the point? I may as well just let him, Keely, act by the laws of nature, or according to his opinion. And he'll treat you how he wants to treat you. Oh, that takes a lot of thinking about. It's very strong. But it's not an unknown idea, right? On the pasuk in Bereshit, where Hashem says to Abraham, step outside, right? The tent, when He tells him that he's going to have children, right? And Abraham doesn't believe it. Why not? Because Abraham's seen in the stars that he's not going to have kids. The stars don't lie. Right, so it can't be.
And he was the world's best astrologer at the time.
Right, he knew how to read the stars. Right, they don't lie, because the stars are only indicators. Stars aren't like a magic potion, hocus pocus, rattle them around and come up with a number. The stars are the connection between this world and the higher world. And he saw that coming through, you can read what's coming through, what's coming down. Top. So, And you saw what's coming down is that, so you know, it's like if you see in the distance the bus coming, because you've got good eyesight, and you say to the guy next to you at the bus stop, the bus is coming now. He doesn't say to you, wow, you've got great nevuah. No, you saw the bus coming. Right? Maybe he can't see it because he hasn't got such a good eyesight, but you saw the bus coming. So it's the same with the person who reads the stars, just sees what's coming. It's not... Anyway, so what does Hashem say to him? Step outside. You just step outside the stars. Right? Nachman writes a lot about it, that Anisrael, Jews are outside the stars. We're beyond nature. You're right. According to nature, that's exactly what should be. But Jews are beyond nature. Jews are beyond the stars. Even though the stars show that it's not coming, it's not happening, it's not going to be. I can change that. Hashem changes what's already programmed in, so to speak. So on that, Rabbi Akiva Tatz also, love Rabbi Akiva Tatz. Rabbi Akiva Tatz said on that, that he said that's why the punishment or the consequence for a person who reads horoscopes is that it's not a punishment, it's a consequence. If you believe your horoscope, then you're stuck with it. The person who goes by the star, you're stuck with what you, why? Because you believe in it. So Mila Keneged Mila, that's what you get. So anyone who wants to read the horoscope and sees that and it says that he's going to have a bad day, he's going to have a bad day, he believes it, he can't change it. Right? Why? Because that's what he believes. So Mida Keneged Mida. So this is just another example of Mida Keneged Mida. If I believe that my destiny is really in this guy's hands, then Hashem says, fine.
But on the other hand, if you want to have fun with the astrology, go to JerusalemCast.com.
That's also an option. But what we want to do is, right, we want to be treating Mida Keneged Mida in terms of Hashem. Right? We know that, I know this is you, Hashem. I know you're running it, and I know you can change this at any moment. Right? It's all in your hands. You can change this guy's mind. You can make my wife happy. You can fill in the blank for whatever we need today. Right? When it's another person. Right? And it's all in your hands, Hashem. Right, so that's the way I relate to him is the way he relates to me. The more I understand, the more I believe, the more emuna I have, the more trust I have in Hashem, then the stronger my ability to receive that which I want. Meaning that my prayers are stronger. Because I'm making that connection stronger. Right? If I don't really believe, so I'm going to need a lot of prayer to change the situation. But if I know very much that it's exactly in Hashem's hands, then something can be changed quite simply. Right? When Moshe said to Hashem, on Miriam when she had Salat, El Na Rafan Allah, that's the only prayer he did. Why? He didn't need anymore. He knew that it was Hashem. And it didn't need a long prayer. Just needed to recognize this is from Hashem. This illness is only from Hashem. And I'm asking Hashem to fix it. And that was it. But a person who doesn't necessarily know it's Hashem, and it's the pills, it's the doctors, it's the virus, it's whatever. So he's going to need a lot of prayers to make up the connection that Hashem is looking for in order to bring down the remedy.
Awesome. Is it the same then, like the horoscopes? If you believe in the medicine, then the medicine's working. Is the medicine going to work then?
No, it means that you're at the mercy of the medicine.
Right.
And most medicines are just they're finger in the air. They're not the cures that they is. Right. Modern medicines could do a lot of shirim on my medicine.